I'm going to be really specifically talking about this church, this house today. And I didn't know what Teresa was going to preach and minister on this morning. We don't really talk about that. We both endeavor to hear from God and bring forth what He's saying. You know, we don't hardly discuss that stuff usually. And not that there's anything wrong with it. She'll hear from the Lord and get what she, and I will. But I was reminded this morning about what we're called to do. Two things that I know this church is called to do. And that's to bring down the kingdom of darkness. And God put us here. He could have put us in Coleman. He could have put us where we're called here to Bluntsville, this arena, you know. And we're all over the world, you know. I never have seen us small. I don't look at number to determine. And when people ask me, you know, how's your little church? I'll say, what little church? You know, and they look at me kind of funny. You know what I mean. I mean, y'all just but a handful and all of that, you know. And I'm like, and I'll always tell them, we're not little. If you're two and you're in His name, you're not little. If you're 1,000, you're in His name, you're not medium size. If you're 10,000 in His name, you know, it don't. All of that does not determine the will of God, the anointing, and the purpose of God. So I've always looked at this ministry going into all the world back when I was an evangelist. But what I'm going to talk about, the Lord has been teaching us how to walk in authority here. God's been teaching this church, you know, there's many, many, there's way more than me and you that's supposed to be here. That's not my business. I have believed God for 24 years to do His will here. And He does, I've not put my trust in people, you know, I want people. You know what I'm saying? That same way with you. You put your trust in God and He supplies. And for 24, but I saw this church a little different this morning by the Spirit of God when I was before the Lord, and I saw it a little different. I began to see how leading up to the day of Pentecost, when Jesus come on the scene for 3.5 years, I began to see in my spirit how that they walked with Jesus. And what did He do? What was He doing? He was teaching them. They walked with Jesus, and He was teaching them, you know, after He's gone, how to do it. He was actually teaching them how that when the Spirit of God come to them, they were going to be able to do like He does. Love the unlovable, right? And not hold anything against anybody. He knew they couldn't do it without Him. They can't do it out in the world without God. Well, anyways, I began to see it, you know, and I thought, wow, man, I hadn't really never saw that God in that way. He said, that's the way this church, your church is. He said, see, I brought y'all together like I told them on the day of Pentecost. He said, I told them when they was walking with me, Jesus, the disciples, back in the, before Jesus' ascension. He said, they was walking with Jesus, with me. He said, and I was teaching them the Word of God. He said, I was teaching them the Word of God. I was asking them to deny themselves and take up their cross. I was asking them not to be selfish. I was telling them, he said, I told them that I'm going to go, he said, and I told them to go into Jerusalem, go into a place, come together, he said, and he said, and they had the same mind and purpose. He said, that's what I've done to my churches, not just ours. Everywhere He's anointed and appointed a church, that's what He does. He begins to teach. He begins to teach us how to walk in prosperity. I don't care what the world says. The Bible is very clear to me from Genesis to Revelation that the church is supposed to be in overflow financially. This church, if it needs a heating and cooling system, should not have to borrow any money, and we wouldn't, and we don't, and we haven't. We started this church, and the first light bill was $54.17, and I praised God. Woo! We got a light bill. We didn't have a light bill before then. We're like, woo, yeah, glory to God. Glory, He'll supply. Isaiah 54:17. I tacked the scripture on it. No weapons formed against us will prosper. Hallelujah. Not a light bill. What I'm saying, where I had been in that church for 8 years and going on the streets just like Monty did, jails, prisons, streets, hospitals, nursing homes. You know, it wasn't because I was a fivefold minister. It was because Jesus had set a fire down in my soul. It was because the Word of God was not just something to get my bills paid. The Word of God, it was not just something to get me in a place where I didn't have no trouble. Hallelujah. I found out from them generals in my church, black God, that if you're gonna serve Jesus Christ, you're gonna have to be willing to war a good warfare and deny yourself and deny your job and deny your wife and deny your sons, deny your daughters when it comes into the place of what you believe to be the will of God. The church is not, a lot is not teaching that anymore. They're afraid they will lose you, Richard. I will lose you if I don't teach you to walk by faith. Follow God. Obey the will of God. I will lose you. I won't. I'm just making, you know. But the Lord, He told him, He told me this morning, He said, I anointed you and I appointed you to Bluntsville. He said, I gave Bluntsville to you. I told you to get out of your vehicle and walk around like a fool, Pat, I did. I got out of my vehicle at 20 whatever years old, 30 whatever years old I was, and I got me some anointing oil out, and I walked around the whole perimeter of the Bluntsville, hallelujah, because God set me here, and God said, I want you to anoint this perimeter. He said, and I want you to bring down principalities and powers. It's not I've never been here just to have church. I've been here doing the will of God. You've been, okay, he told them they was 120 people in that upper room. God's called more than 120 here. There's some of them listening by Facebook, and that's fine. Get it. You better get it. If you're supposed to be somewhere, whether it's here or wherever it's at, God's called you and anointed you to plant you there. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says for me to be a bar hopper, church hopper, right? A hop bar hopped out yonder. We got tired of the same old people in that bar. We find another one. Bar hopping. You know, when I started the church, God told me, He said, come out of the world and be separate. Don't be like you was in the world. You get where I plant you. The Bible is very clear. Some Christians override it and say, I'm led by the Holy Spirit. I'm just led by the Lord, whatever the Lord leads me. Nah, the Bible says He plants you. The Bible says those that are planted in the house of God where He wants you and you know He wants you to be, that's what that means. He said those will flourish in the courts of our God. Those are the ones that will walk in an anointing. Those are the ones that will take up serpents. Those are the ones that will cast out devils. Those are the ones that will speak to their financial mountain, but God, and the money has to come. Those are the ones that will tithe in the windows of heaven, will openly be known in their life. The world will envy the real Christians in the last day because their heart is to do the will of God. God can't do that for us, Chris. I mean, we can't. God does it. He goes and he carries them in the upper room. Tells them to gather in the upper room. He said, until you be endued with power from on high. See, we're not waiting on him to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. He did it in the book of Acts. Joel chapter 2, when he is prophesying, came to pass in Acts. We have been in the last days since the book of Acts. We've been living in that outpouring of God's power and spirit throughout this whole earth ever since the book of Acts. But the only power, the only ones that the power is released and given and appointed to are the doers of the will of God. Don't get it confused. Facebook don't tell me what truth is. AI don't tell me what truth is. AI gives me what they have been programmed. They can't feel. Don't let all this stuff fool you when it comes. We got an AI. On the inside of us, the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, he's smarter than any computer on this planet. He's smarter than any self-made preacher or teacher or apostle or prophet. Right? He's the one that comes to Richard and says, come to me. Come. And then says, go here and sit down there and learn and go out and I'll feed you. I'll minister to you. I'll build you. Yeah, I'll tell you to quit committing adultery. Yeah, I'll tell you to quit lusting after women. I'm not talking about Richard. Me. See, there's some things my eyes shouldn't see. There's some things that I don't need to be focused on. There's some things I don't need to hear, Chris. There's some things I don't need to watch. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's some places I don't need to be going, then there's some places I need to go. You know, just like Monty out on the streets, he brought it up, and he's experiencing some things, and that's the way we're supposed to. We go out, some people told me one time, they said, I want to go. Now, I'm talking about this church. I'm not just giving you a little pick you up sermon this morning. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God's anointed you and God's equipped you and God has appointed you to be a real Christian. You got them fake. I'm not judging. I'm not out there. They say, don't judge me. The Bible says me and you, Johnny, and you and all of us, we know them by them sitting at home this morning. And they can go to church. Fruit. Fruit. I know them by their fruit. I don't sit around judging them and talking, gossiping about them, not going to. Everybody make your own mind up. We make our own mind up. That we, as for you, me, our house, this church, we going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. And we're going to get the results and the impartations and all of that, the manifestations. I told Samantha when she went in, I've had trouble out here. This is my room, and that's my room, and I don't really want nobody to use my room. Rooms. God taught me that when I was driving a truck down there, and I said, I don't want nobody driving my truck. Like I bought that $100,000 truck or something. And God's working the kingdom down there. You know, and God told me, he said, did you buy that truck? And I said, no, I didn't buy that truck, but I don't want nobody messing with it. They mess with the gear stick. They move my bucket. They move this. They do that. They, you know, they don't put it back. They don't do it exactly like I want. And then when I get in it, I got to fix everything and blah, blah, blah. You know, and the Lord told me, he said, that is not your truck. It was my boss's. I had to die to my will. See, we got to die to our will, Nita. You know, he does it, the Holy Spirit, by our choice. I said, okay, Lord, it belongs to him, bless God. So I went to my boss the next time he said something. I said, you just let anybody drive as you want to. And he looked shocked. He kind of looked shocked. wonder what happened to Scotty. Transformed. I was renewing my mind to God's word. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world. The way the world was doing it, I was in the world, and I'd think that, and nobody would drive that truck. I would refuse it. I'd tell him, I'll quit. I'll go stay with my... I wanted to quit and stay with Teresa. What am I saying? I'm saying God was saying this stuff, son, ain't going to work over here in the kingdom and following the Holy Spirit, because you got to surrender to my will. This is not your will anymore, but my will will take you higher. My will will get you in the anointing. My will will get your finances met. My will get your marriage fixed. My will keep your sons and your daughters. I will lead you in my way, the ways of righteousness, the ways of right ways of thinking, being, and doing. Now, let me tell you something. Don't you think I'm up here all perfect. I'm just telling you, if you got that view of me, then you're looking wrong. I'm working on obeying Jesus just like all of us are. I don't want to do his will sometimes. That's the flesh man. I don't want to preach sometimes, Chris. I sure didn't want to. When the Lord told me to go to the jail, I was all excited. Now see, God has had you here for years. Some of us been here for years. Some of us ain't ankle deep in yielding to authority. Don't know how to yield to authority because we've never stayed where God wanted us. Because where God wants you is not going to suit you all the time. It's just not. They have people talking about churches and they're talking about the revival, and I'm excited about the revival. But I've had to do some changing. I had to do some changing to do God's will. Just had to do it this morning. Because everything ain't going the way I had it planned. And I'm before the Lord, and he said, you got to follow me now. So I called the evangelist. I said, that's not going to happen, and that's not going to happen. I said, it's not lining up with the Lord. I said, I will not push doors open. See, sometimes we try to make ministry happen. Make things happen. No, we follow him. We listen to him. We yield to him. Hallelujah. And so he says, well, whatever, yeah, thank God, hallelujah. I said, that's just the way we're going to do it. Hallelujah, you know. And so I told Samantha this morning, I said, listen, I said, I may need your room. And she just looked at me and, my room? I said, yeah. I said, if this nursery right here fills up and we need another one, I said, you might have to clean up some snot and stuff, but she just turns around to me right off the bat and she said, whatever you need and wherever you need me. Oh, hallelujah. Whatever you need and wherever you need me. See, this thing ain't my will. We're here to Teresa taught us co-workers, laborers, just told Monty that yesterday. I said, we're co-laborers together. You know, that ain't something I just spit out in here trying to preach you a good sermon. But God, I'm a co-laborer with you. All I am is anointed up here. I'm not your big leader like some people want to put pastors on a. You ought to honor me. You ought to respect me. You ought to pray for me. You ought to lift me up. You ought to be wanting to work with me to do all that you can do to help me. You ought to. I ought to do everything in my power to help you if I am really the fivefold ministry equipping you. Well, equipping you means, I used to tell Richard, he'd back in there, he wants the church to help him. I get a call from him all the time. So-and-so over there. I'd have to say, we're not doing it. I'd tell Richard. And then I could tell when he didn't like it, and I'd say, all is well. I come up with a good name for Richard, all is well. He was a trial in the morning. Trial at the noontime. Trial in the afternoon. He ain't the only one. I've had them, man. I mean, they come and they're this trial. Travis told me yesterday, he said, I was telling Beth, he's talking about me. He said, that dude goes for 20 years walking with people. And I'd have quit the first week. You know why? Because I'm going to do the will of God, and whoever comes into my life is a trial. I'm going to grow, Pat. I'm going to develop. I'm not going to become bitter. I'm not going to take opportunities to stumble. I'm not going to take opportunities to be trapped by my own will. If I say like Jesus, Lord, let this cup pass from me. I do. I've asked God about half of you. God, are you sure? And y'all have come here and you knew God wanted you to be here and you're like, God, are you still sure? Is this sure? You still want me to go there, God? It goes both ways. Y'all know? Remind me, God. I told that evangelist, I said, listen to me. I said, 6 years into pastoring that church, I said, just following God's will led me out to where I didn't know where I was going. Sound like Abraham, don't it? Abraham might have come up with a lot of stuff. Ooh, I'm going to get over there, that grass is going to be green. Gets over there, Lot takes the green pasture. Leaves in the desert. I've looked at other ministers and I'm like, God, I think I pull the short end of the stick, you know. You pull the stick apart, whoever gets the, is it short or long that wins? Whatever. I think I got the wrong side. See, sometimes it looks like God's will is never going to happen in your life at times. But you stand on the promises that God has made to you. If you and your house will serve me, pray God he will do what he said. He is a God that is not slack concerning what he promises you. But he's a God that has not promised you you're not going to have to yield your will to his will. See, that's why, I mean, Aubrey and Aiden, I let them do more. They ride on the Polaris with me. They come and they say, Chris, they say, hey, Papa, you think we can ride? You know, if Grandma's not going, man, this is the happy point in their life. Dude, we stop and kill snakes and run over dead possums. And I mean, you know, we stop and go in storm shelters on the side of the road that's been there for decades. It's fallen in. I mean, who wouldn't love to be with a papa like that? And so he's up there and he's kicking and I'm kind of watching him cruising down the road, you know, and I'm kind of watching him, you know, and Aubrey's over here, shut up, Aiden, shut up, you know, and I'm like, oh, man, y'all just enjoy it. Shh, hey, just cool, you know. Well, Teresa says, hey, she said, I went and told her, I said, won't you get on your rocker? You know, and just follow us. Just we riding the back roads, just follow us on your little rocker. So she bundles up, gets her rocker on, backs out, room, and here we go, and she's watching Aiden. I mean, I didn't know she's getting all. But when she got by, we enjoyed it, didn't we, guys? Pulling in the driveway, it was a cool ride, yeah, and Grandma was right behind, yeah. And Grandma's up there, she's trying to get her helmet off, and before she can get her helmet off, I can hear it coming out from under her helmet. I can tell you right there, she can't even wait. Can't even get the helmet off. She's bringing some correction. Come told me the other day, come up there at the shop, and he's heard me say it's terrible. You know, he come up there and shot, and I could hear Teresa down there, blah, 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 whatever she's telling him. She just telling him, you ain't going to do this, and you're going to do that, and it's sugar. He's going to hug him, give me sugar. But she tells him straight and kisses him. That's the way God does us. He does, and then he loves us. And he come up there at the shop, and he said, I was working, doing something. He turned his back there and had his lips sticking out a little bit, and I thought, I said, what is it? He said, it's terrible. I said, what's terrible? He just pointed. He pointed to Grandma. I said, nah. I said, all she done is sit down, shut up, and buckle up. And if you don't do that, you're not riding. I said, that's all she done? I said, she don't want you flipping out and breaking an ear. She don't. Now, Papa don't care. I'll pick you up off the side of the road, throw you in the back. We'll go on. I was raised that way. Drag you home with a horse. You fall off the side of the mountain, your brothers and sisters are laughing and you're hanging on. You're thinking it's way down there. They're laughing and leave you there and go and tell everybody to embarrass you. Well, hey, man, I could have died down here. You know. I learned not to depend on them siblings. Ain't no ride or die in this family, but God, you know, especially if you're like me and you steal all the yellow blocks, they got it for you. But see, over here in this kingdom, God, we've got to be willing to yield to God's will, like go to the post office. A lot of us, I mean, we're not trying just to sin, right? See, there's sins of a lack of obedience to the Lord. Sins of omission, do they call it? That's a word. I'd have to break that down. All I know is if you don't obey the Lord, sin's bad. They say omission, make it sound good. Oh, don't be omission of. Whatever that word is. Just obey the Lord. Hallelujah. See, the Lord, just like He took me there, and I'm down there, Chris, and I'm just real with the Lord. I'm 28 years old, and I'm sitting down here because the altar's full. I'm telling you, this place is going to fill up, and God's been getting us ready. He's been using each other with our lack of being like one another and using that to mold us and make us into His image where we can be worlds apart character-wise, but one in the Spirit, I mean, and tear the devil's kingdom down. I'm there and I said, God, I said, oh, Lord, use me. I don't even really know what I'm asking. All I know is I want to be used by the Lord. You know, I don't have an imagination of what I'm even talking about. Just that desire. I said, God, use me. I said, Lord, I want to be used by you, Lord. I didn't realize that you was going to feel like a doormat at times. I didn't realize God told me when people use me and abuse me, and I go to gripe and He say, well, you asked me to use you. He said, now walk in love. This is your opportunity. To learn that where you never can be offended. Well, I'm telling you, that is a great place. When you come to the place by exercising forgiveness, when you come to the place of freedom in that, and you decide you're going to forgive them 2 weeks before they do anything to you, then they do something to you, you're like, ha! I knew it was coming, baby! I caught that one, devil! Poof! And you hit a home run with it. I'm going to ask this question. I want you to be honest. I know you will. You're in church, especially in church. How many of you in here, and I'm on a hand raised up, how many of you that goes to church here have had the opportunity to get offended and quit church? Raise your hands up. Everybody look around. No, keep your hands up. Look, she's even got, come on, get it out of that shirt. I'm telling her, I told her, I said, I bet you went and told Lucky's 100. Y'all keep your hands up. Praise the Lord a minute.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. I told her, I said, I bet you, she said, we can't hang them flyers up in there. I don't think they'll. I said, I bet you if you go over there and you tell them that this pastor over here is giving $100 for 1 week for that flyer to be hanging up, I said, I bet you they'd bust it. I said, but I'm not going to ask you to do that. All right, look around. Hands. Look at that. Look around. This is an example for you. This is not a coincidence. you know. Let your hands down. I want you to realize that. You ain't just singled out by the devil. I forgot to raise my hand. Son, I have had some major ones. I don't need a pat on the back. That's what Travis, I found me a scripture, Dad, to get me a tattoo. He come up with the scripture. Paul bared the marks. That's not talking about a tattoo. That's talking about he went through hell in the hallway, D. He went through, shipwreck, man. I'm talking about this dude right here, you know, and I thought, oh, man, if that's his level of that scripture, but God, he don't know nothing. He ain't never had to deny himself for the Lord. We made him deny himself when he was at our house. He get out to Beth, and then he's messing around, Beth preaching all of y'all going to hell. Y'all going to hell. She telling them. She had never been out there sinning like that. This girl been raised in church. She gets around Travis, and he's one of them backslid Christians. He can say he ain't never sinned if he wants to. I know he's a liar. I have them out there backslid cold turkey, Chris, and they say, I've never backslid. I'm like, are you serious right now? Man, you used to get them in church, now you want their wife. That's not backslid. Something wrong with that picture. I'm not going to be deceived, right? Hallelujah. No, but God, every one of us, the hands, and I wanted every one of y'all to see it. Not so you can say, boy, I wonder what theirs was. I wonder what their opportunity. That's dumb. Take the example and say, I'm not falling for that. Now, I'm going to say this too. God told me, he said, there's many. And it reminded me of the scripture. I always really wondered what it meant in a little fuller. He said, many are called, but few are chosen. And I've always wondered, why is that? God calls many, but there's just a few he chooses. He calls many, but few are chosen. And this morning, he said, I have chose many in this church. And I thought, well, Lord, they had good. He said, there is no excuse that there is under the sun that you don't have the power to do what I've asked you to do. He said, that is not like, that's not real. He said, have I ever in your life not showed up when I asked you to go on the streets? I said, you did. He said, what about the prisons? I said, you did. They was these people one time, they wanted to go to the jail with me, and I'm like, oh, man, you know, I don't know about all that. Y'all ain't that kind of material, you know? And so I said, okay, y'all go. Well, they go with me this one Thursday night. It was two of my brothers. People get fired up, boy, when they see God moving and all that, you know. It was on a continual every time I went to that jail. Every time. When I went on the streets Monday, I didn't see it all the time. But these people sat over there that wouldn't go to church and they heard. They was people blocks away that was hearing the gospel of the Lord, and one come and got herself saved. She come out of the preaching of the gospel. That's what it is. The preaching of the gospel is the power of God. Amen. To salvation. Not the hot dogs, not the gatherings. The preaching of the word of God is the power of God unto salvation. Now, you made it. You didn't stumble. Many stumbled. Many stumbled and took things personal and all kinds of things. I don't know all of what, but God told me, he said, I warned them every time. He said, I warned them before they quit church. Not just here, everywhere. He said, didn't I warn you when they wanted you to start a church? Because they seen the anointing and the gifting in your life. He said those were the ones that was rebellious to my church. They wanted their own church. They will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, telling them what they want to hear. He said that's what they wanted. He said, but they just don't know. They would not have got that out of you. I said, no, sir. You see, I didn't realize that I had become a little bit of a people pleaser with y'all. I favor y'all. I love y'all. I don't like any inconvenience in your life. And most of the time, if it's in my power to keep you from it, I try to do it. That's not good. I'm just telling you. That is not good. Whenever God wanted us to have revival Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I kind of in my heart argued with him that that's your weekend. Right? That you're off on the weekend. Like he don't know it. They're off on the weekend, man. That's taking up their weekend, their enjoyment. Travis can't go camping. Doris comes down all the time, asking her to go on the weekend. And then when God brings a man, sets him on the pew, and I thought, that's just terrible. Ain't nobody telling me when. That's exactly what church members do. You hear me? And if I don't get that straightened out, I'm going to get off out of the anointing. Right? God knows I'm not just doing it out of rebellion. So I'm like, that's not going to happen, man. I'm used to it, you know. I'm used to it Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. And I've been good with that for 25 years. And why change it? Because I don't want any inconvenience Monday on the weekend. I know it. That's me. Had nothing to do with you. You're fine with it. I'm the one in trouble. Right? Y'all like, oh, yeah, it's on the weekend. Oh, we're off. Now I'm over here. It's the weekend. Can't put it on that congregation. See? And then I sat down right there God has the evangelist sitting there and I'm just talking to him. He said, yeah, I just got out of a meeting last night. He said, preached last night, you know, so-and-so. And I said, nah, I've heard of him. I said, I don't personally know him. Yeah, he said, and they having it on Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. And when he said that, you might as well busted my teeth out. Didn't mean nothing to y'all. But here I done made up my mind. Oh, I can't even give me. And the Lord told me, he said, you didn't realize it. He said, but now you're trying to please that congregation. He said, you've never been there and done that. He said, you never have. He said, you've endeavored to hear from me and walk with me and whatever my will is, you want it and you're going to do it. And you didn't think about people. Not that I don't think about you, but in that manner. That's kind of like the congregation comes out there and they tell Moses, look, man, hey, you told us God's going to do this and this, and you brought us out here to die. God goes over there and he said, I'm going to kill them all. And Moses intercedes. And then look, he said, I heard what they said about me, told them. No, we didn't say that about you. We said it about Moses, right? Yeah. Well, who was Moses? He's one God sent over there to lead them out. I found out that I wasn't a lone ranger because God had called me to be an evangelist. I found out that he wanted me to stay at that church and submit and not start churches and not take ministry and all, denying myself to stay in the will of God. And then went to my pastor. I'm telling you this because these things inside of you will cause you to walk in a place with God that I'm telling you there ain't a devil on this planet or in the principalities of the air or anything that can stop the will of God on the inside of you. So I go to my pastor and he said, oh yeah, I see the fruit, Brother Scotty. And I'm like, he's in agreement with me. He's in agreement with me. I sent him a message this morning. See, look, I have to prize you, Chris, worth Jesus dying. You were worth it. We esteem each other the same. He died for you. He died for me. He died for Chloe. He died. So this revival that we're fixing to have, we're going to have a meeting Wednesday night, Thursday night. Hope all y'all can make it. They're wanting to pray with us before the revival starts on Friday. So I told him, I said, okay, we'll just want to meet twice or two or three times, but I'm on, but he does, he's busy. And I said, okay, we're going to do it this way. It's what it felt like, Lord. So at 6 o'clock here Thursday, you know, I thought the whole church has got to be there. They're leaders. About all of us involved in ministry somehow. But see, here, when we come here, Teresa, she's parking down there. And I thought, man, what are you parking down there for? She's practicing. She's giving up her parking lot, parking spot. She said, well, Travis, you park down here. She said, they can come through this door. And I said, nah, just tell them walk around the building. Just walk a little further. Walk a long way for the revival. Park on the other side of the road and walk across the road. Taking a chance. Living on the edge for Jesus. Hallelujah. But the Lord told me, he said, just like the book of Acts, he said, I've anointed and appointed this church. He said, I've called y'all. Anybody in here, you know you're supposed to be here. You know what I'm, you feel it. You know it. I know it. I knew when I was supposed to be there, and I've never felt out of the will of God here. I left my church and came here, and I have never wondered if I'm out of the will of God or not. Not going there and not here. I am in the will of God. I'm going to do the will of God. We are going to do the will of God. If one puts 1,000 to, that's why he unites us and gets us in the same gear. And before you know it, them little devils, Pat, that's been tormenting you so long, raid. I mean, God's Holy Spirit comes and takes those little bitty things and turns them into stepping stones higher. I went over and preached one time to a little church, and it was all old folk. I'm in their 80s and 90s. I'm talking about some of them. They're laying there about in the grave, you know. And man, I mean, that preacher wants me to preach, and I had one scripture. And I jumped up there, and he said, come get the microphone. He said, I want you to preach. And I thought, man, knew I should have fasted. I should have been fasting. I shouldn't have been watching too much TV yesterday. I didn't read. I didn't read my Bible. All that stuff, you know. And I got that microphone when I got that. I thought I'd heard my pastor when he wanted him to come pray for Aunt Susie or whoever it was. And he hadn't been fasting. He's laying there watching a movie. And he told God, oh, I should have been. And the Lord asked him, he said, if she gets healed, is it going to be because of you or me? He said, Lord, it's going to be because of you. He goes over there and she gets healed. And so I thought about him telling that, and there I was. See what he done in that church? Equipped me for then. What I was learning then, I was using there. I got up and preached. When I got done, this little 90-something, them old people standing up shouting and hollering, running around that church. And I'm like, God, I didn't know old people could dance like that, man. I didn't think they could move like that, man. They're coming there. On them walkers. Man, before you know it, they're out in the aisle. Woo! They ain't got the walker, boy. They done lost sight of the natural. They done got into the supernatural. That little lady comes up and she said, hey, young man, oh, I got what you got on the inside of you right now. I got it. She said, I thought I was washed up. I thought God was 94 years old. She said, I want you to lay hands on me. But God, she said, I'm going to win them to Jesus. I thought, man, they're in danger right now, devil. This 94-year-old's coming down into town. I can just see her probably. She going down into town to Walmart and everywhere else. But God, she's on fire. I didn't do it. I'm telling you, but I carried it. over there. I carried the presence of God over there. And out of my mouth, when I released God's word, he released that power into their lives. And they became not old and washed up. They became supernaturally stirred by the Spirit of God like we are. We're no quitters. We are warriors. And God spoke, they were in intercession. I'm going to tell you this because of what God thinks about you. He said, I'm telling you, last night I was interceding. He said, and I saw you. He said, I could see you. He said, God highly honors you and your wife and that ministry for your faithfulness. You have been faithful. He said, and he trusts you. He trusts you with the lives of people. And he's going to send them. He said, God is going to do something. He said, in Bluntsville, that it's not going to be just a revival. He said, God he's been preparing you this whole time. I thought, glory to God. That goes right in line with what I've been believing. So do a little fasting this week. I fast that Mountain Dew, and I can't fast that food. Yes, you can. Doctor tells me to fast. I'm like, yeah, that doctor, he got to do what he says now, you know. Get over here, and God says fast. Oh, God, has it come to that? I starve to death. Oh, Travis, he's one of them. He's one of them. He called, they want to give him a doctor's appointment at 2 o'clock, want him fasting. He comes unglued with them. Are you serious? God, this is serious here. This is getting serious. So, yeah, well, look, I need to cancel out, do it in the morning. He won't do it early, do it 7. He gets up at 6:30, ain't got time to get hungry till I get that blood. He knows he's laughing because he's guilty. He's guilty. Comes time to fast, man. When you live a fasted lifestyle all the time, you got, you ain't got time to be a coasting Christian. You got to be on a 10 speed. Even if you're going downhill, put it in the highest gear and keep pedaling. Right? There's not a time to coast anymore. No, it's a time. It's not a time to lay back and relax. You know, I've seen Travis, and I'm not bragging on him. I'm telling y'all he's garbage. You know, I don't favor him in that manner. My son ain't going to fool me. I'm sticking with that Bible, ain't you? Ain't you? He says, be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sowed, that's going to reap. So Travis, he's not now. But I've seen God do more for him in the last 2 years, Pat, than I've ever seen God be able to do for that, for my son in his lifetime. Hallelujah. There ain't but one reason, Chris. He starts putting the kingdom first. Yeah. He makes a choice to put the kingdom first. Get up on Saturday, the men's meal. Oh, it's my day off. Why am I doing this? Nah. Then he makes up his mind, but God, I'm going to put the kingdom first. First time he came out to the food ministry after 15 years. 15 years. Longer than some of you been here. I've never seen that boy out there. But God, that's not my job. I ain't doing that. But God, let everybody else. I have to do this and they can do that. See, that's what he has to get out of him. Out of me, out of you. We ain't got jobs here. We serving God. We're servants of the Most High. You know, you might not be physically able to do stuff, but God, but you can pray. You can fast and you can say, turn that Bluntsville upside down, God. I'm interceding right now, God. I'm standing in here. I might not can go out there and march and run a marathon, God, but I know I hear you. You hear me. I know that I have faith that you're a big God and you empower the, you pray for us. Right? Because God is going to bring them in here, Richard, and they're going to be more messed up than we was. That's terrible. That's terrible. But boy, we done been through the fire. We done been through the flood. We didn't quit. We hung in there. We wanted to quit. Everything around us said it would be better to quit. We didn't, Monty. We didn't. We changed our hearts. We repented. Whatever we had to do, we repented. We asked God to help us, to strengthen us. We made up our minds that we're going to be like Jesus. And God says, that's all I'm looking for. And then Travis, I'm like, this is a miracle. He comes to the food thing. He starts tithing. I mean, I'm like, man, Jesus, he did. He was raised from the dead. He did really ascend. He did really send his Holy Spirit. I knew it, but I knew it deeper then. He's used to, oh, Dad, let them go to hell. They just use you and abuse you. Every time they use you and abuse you. But you know what? I got a testimony, friend, from out of my son's mouth. Told his wife. That dude can go for 20 years with somebody and not kick him out of the church. I would have kicked him. I'd have closed it. He told me one time, he said, something happened to you and Mom, but God, I'm closing it down the first day. This church. See why you can't depend on him in that manner? But Richard, it's just because his zone is not mine. You know, I mean, I'm anointed to walk with and long-suffering and train and all that, and that comes with the gifting if I yield to it. I have to yield like everybody else. You know what I'm saying? So that I'm a team worker. Man, is it done? That's terrible. We need to set our clocks back and don't spring them forward. That way I think, man, I got another hour. So I want to encourage you, you know, get excited about this revival, bless God. I mean, go handy, go out there to them drug heads, the ones that you don't want stealing your stuff. Go out there to them and say, look, this church, don't even say, come on, man, we're going to have a good revival. No, just say, this church, they saying the power of God's going to show up over there. They believe it too because they're excited. Go to this church, man. Why don't you go to church? Go out. I mean, bid people to come. The Christians, that's fine. Tell them, look, get your sick people. Get your backslid people. Don't tell them you know they're backslid. Just don't do that and warp them up. Just tell them, come to revival. Come to revival. We're believing for a move of God here that will not just be a service, it will be an everlasting revival. I'm talking about one that starts something in the hearts of people that won't quit like it did us. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. And doing God's will is simple. It first starts with your heart on the altar, saying, God, not my will, but your will be done. And God, help me when it comes to the cross in my life, that you help me to surrender to your will and not my will. And that's where the power. I believe Jesus went to the cross at the Garden of Gethsemane. I believe there when he said, Lord, not my will, yours. I believe that's when the Holy Spirit empowered him all the way to death. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise you. And I thank you, Father.